John and go to John chapter 14 with me this morning. Glad to be in the Lord's house. Glad for the Lord's blessings. Glad to have Miss Margie with us this morning. Thankful for the Lord's hand and how he's blessed and moved. And good to see each of you with us this morning. So we'll look in John 14. And at 7:08 a.m., I'm going to preach on rest. And we're up early, and we're in the house of the Lord, no better place to be. We're going to think for just a few moments on rest, specifically rest in Christ. And so John 14, beginning in verse number 1, follow along with me if you will. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Let us pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day, this time together in your house. We pray, Lord, that you bless us this morning during our sunrise service as we anticipate and we celebrate the rising of your Son, Jesus Christ, upon this Easter Sunday. We thank you for the events that transpired 2,000 years ago, that we may be saved, that we may know you through your Son, Jesus, and his sacrifice upon the cross. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die for us. And this morning, I pray that our hearts would be moved with appreciation and thanksgiving. And Lord, I pray that we would find rest in your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have our Savior here telling this text, sharing this thought of, let not your heart be troubled. He gives assurance that we are not to be troubled in this world. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The only true rest we will find as Christians in this world is found in Christ. We can go and do, and we anticipate that I'm looking forward to a vacation, amen, and in May, Lord willing, I'm looking to take a vacation, go to the beach, get away, get some rest. But I can run to the beach, I can run out west, I can cross the Atlantic Ocean, go to Europe or wherever I want to go, and I will not find rest if it's not in Christ. Rest from what? The world is a dark and weary place, is it not? There's constantly something that is pulling away my attention and my focus from my walk with the Lord and getting me distracted on things of this world. There are endless news cycles of junk that's going on in the world, and we've got wars going on and people dying and people facing all kinds of turmoil, and there's controversy. In the political realm, there's uncertainty. As far as the stock market goes, there's worries and concerns about what the election of this year will bring. But I'm here to tell you that 2,000 years ago, the world was no different than it is today. You can look at people, in the world all those years ago, and you see that man was wicked 2,000 years ago when our Savior spoke these words, when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Man was wicked. The world system was wicked. Political system was wicked. The economic system was all over the place. Wars and famines and pestilences were across the world. There was paganism and idolatry and wickedness and false religion that was running rampant. The world's really, in a sense, it is no different than it was when Jesus spoke these words to these weary pilgrims traveling through this world. Let not your heart be troubled. And even this morning, early in the morning, when we get ourselves, we wake ourselves and we raise ourselves out of the bed, and you, like me, I'm sure, have to get the sleep out of your eyes. It takes a little bit of caffeine to get you going. That's how these bodies are. I've had a long and busy week like you have, I'm sure. And it's hard to want to get up and jump up out of bed with joy. But when you think about the rest that we have in Jesus Christ, maybe it's not rest even upon this earth. Maybe it's rest one day that we will receive on the other side, the promise of knowing that when we draw our last breath, we will be welcomed into peace and hope and rest for eternity. That pushes me forward and brings me on through this dark world. It says, let not your heart be troubled. First thing about having rest with Christ is we do not have to live with troubled hearts. We do not have to live with troubled hearts. The things that we have, the cares of this world that we have, the worries and the anxieties that we have, they're just temporal. They will all end at some point in time. Whether it be by my death or by the rapture of the church, this thing is coming to an end. There's coming a day if I die and I'm not taken through the rapture, one day when I die and my children, they will inherit what I have, Lord willing. Maybe we go by the rapture and somebody else will live in my home for a little while. It's just temporal. What we have to understand is that what we're living for is the other side. This life, even in this very moment, we've got troubles and we've got worries and concerns. I had worries and concerns driving over here this morning. I was praying, Lord, lift this burden off of me, even just for a little while. And I pray you prayed the same thing this morning. Lord, take these burdens off me, even if it's just today that I could worship you in spirit and truth. Why? Because our Savior told us that we don't have to live with trouble and fear in our hearts. There's a lot of people drawing our attention away, drawing our thoughts and our desires away from what's important. What's important? Jesus Christ. Why? Because he came, he lived a perfect life. I mean perfect. You know how easy it is to sin, amen? It's easy. Very easy. It's so easy that you will sin and you won't even, you'll subconsciously commit sins. You ever done that? You tell a lie before you even have time to contemplate whether it's right or wrong. Have you ever got mad and said a word you shouldn't have said before you've had a second to think about whether it's right or wrong? Have you ever got angry at somebody and bit at them or attacked them or got angry at them or said something to them before you even had a second to think whether it's right or wrong? We're humans. We're flesh. We're so corrupted by flesh that we're so apt to make mistakes that we will do it before we can even think about it. But guess what? In each and every way you have ever been tempted, each and every way that you have ever sinned, Jesus Christ was tempted in the same way, and he never once gave in to the flesh. What does that mean for you and me? That he lived a life and he never committed a sin. So when he was presented as the Lamb to give his life and die on behalf of you and me, he was a perfect and a spotless Lamb. When he was crucified, he was a perfect and a spotless Lamb. When he died, he was a perfect and a spotless Lamb. And because he was God made man and he was a perfect and spotless Lamb, he had the power to get up and walk out of the grave. What does that tell me today? What can I take from that today? That I can live in this world without being troubled by this world because my Redeemer liveth. And my Redeemer is perfect. And my Redeemer has freed me from my sins. And my Redeemer has forgiven me from my sins. So I can live a life that's not a troubled life. What I'm getting at this morning is there's a lot of things pulling for our attention. There's people out there. They want to sell you something. They track every move you make. You think about something. You can pull something, and you're looking for something on the internet. You can look for directions on the internet and get an advertisement for something that somebody wants to sell you. And you think, I just thought of that. Hey, there's some crazy stuff out there in this world right now. That's how interconnected our daily lives, our thoughts and our minds are with technology. Guess what? The devil loves this because he knows how he can get stuff in front of you. He knows how he can present things to you. He knows how he can place things before you. And guess what he's done? It's not just a buy one, get one down at Ingles, but the devil puts sin right in front of us at all times. Not only does he put sin in front of us all times, but he puts turmoil. All that's going on in the world, the war in Israel and with Israel and Hamas and the anticipation, there's a lot of junk out there on the internet we need to just avoid. Just going to tell you this morning. There's a lot of stuff causing turmoil that Jesus did not intend for us to live our lives worried about what some goober on Facebook is saying, and we need to turn our hearts and our minds towards Jesus. We're listening to people that are causing turmoil in the Christian church talking about things they need to keep their mouth shut about. And we're eating it. We're just spoon-feeding it to ourselves and the people in our families. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." What does that tell me? There's things Jesus knows about his return, about his plans, about the millennial kingdom I'm not intended to know. But guess what? I can live with hope and peace today knowing that my Jesus is in control. And guess what? That should be good enough for me. And I find times where I'm thinking, "Lord, what's going on? What are you doing? Why is this? Why? What's going on?" You feel anxiety about things. People predicting April the 8th, the world's going to end. Guess what? April the 8th, if the world ends, if Jesus comes back and returns, it's not because somebody on this earth said so. It's because Jesus Christ was told by his Father to come back. He tells us, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Don't be focusing on stuff that's not our intention to understand and know. Don't be worried about the troubles of this world. Hey, I'm worried about paying my mortgage. I'm worried about feeding my kids. Hey, I understand, but I am held in the hand of the Father. And I live and eat from his hand, and I will die and eat from his hand. Let not your hearts be troubled. One man said, "Imaginary grievances have always been my torment more than the real ones." Imaginary things. It's all up here, church. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled," but we let our minds trouble us constantly about the things we do not know and the things we cannot answer. We have to yield ourselves to him. He gives us a commandment. He tells us we have to give ourselves to him. "Lord, you know and you're in control." The next verse here in verse 2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." We can find rest in Christ because we do not have to have troubled hearts. We don't have to live with troubled hearts worried about all these things we can't answer. But also, we can have rest in Christ when we realize and we understand that we have an honest Savior, and there is much to be said about having an honest Savior. "In my Father's house are many mansions," he says, "if it were not so, I would have told you." This is God the Son speaking on authority, as the authority of God the Father, saying, "I'm honest when I tell you what I have planned for you. When I tell you not to be worried, when I tell you not to be concerned with things of this world, when I tell you that you can have confidence and joy walking in this earth, not living with constant turmoil because of sin and because of uncertainty and because of all these other things that distract our attention, I give you and I tell you that, I give you that peace and joy on this earth with authority." You talk to people and in the business world, you've heard it, "I don't worry about it." You bring a concern to somebody, "Don't worry about it." And you're like, "I know you got it figured out, but I don't know. And I don't like that." But we go to God that way, as we would in a business dealing with somebody. You try to gain a little bit of information. You get a little perspective from somebody. "Hey, you don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." I don't like that because I don't trust people. I don't like when somebody knows and I don't know. But guess what? We have to trust that Jesus knows. Why? Because he was sent on the authority of his Father. And we find rest in the fact that he is honest. If we cannot believe that we serve an honest Savior, there's no reason to believe at all. If we cannot have faith and know that Jesus, in everything he's ever said, everything he's ever promised, had honest intentions, there's no reason to do anything that we're doing. We serve an honest Savior. And so we can find rest in his honesty. In the fact that he tells us, if it were not so, I would have told you. If heaven wasn't as grand as I say it is, I would have told you. If I didn't intend to protect you and preserve you on this earth and on the other side, I would have told you. If I didn't intend to make a way for salvation for all men and women in this world, I would have told you. He's an honest Savior. We can find rest in his honesty. In the fact that there's nothing hidden in him about his love, his grace, his mercy. It was all bore on the cross. It was all shown upon Calvary's hill. His honesty. And you can look back through the scriptures and you can see everything, with the exception of the return of Christ, the rapture of the church, the millennial kingdom, the last and final things, with the exception of those few things, every single thing he's ever said he would do, he has done. And that gives me faith to believe that what he has told me that he has not yet done is going to come to pass. And so I can live with peace and hope and joy while I'm traveling through this earth, knowing that I have an honest Savior that is going to do what he has said he's going to do. What I'm getting at this morning is rest in Christ. See, this is an interesting sunrise message. That's okay. You know me. I'm interested. Each and every morning when the sun rises, it's a promise to know that the darkness of this world will not hold me forever. It's light. The light is filling up these mountains. The sun is creeping up. Even as I was on my way over this morning, that upward road, I could tell just over the horizon, the sun was rising. And I found rest in Christ. I found rest in him. All the anxieties and all the worries. Now, hey, they'll be back tomorrow. I'll have to rest in him again. They'll be back in a few hours. I'll have to rest in him again. Why? Because I'm flesh. I worry about things, Brother Chuck. I worry about things. I worry about my family. I worry about the church. I worry about you. I worry about my house. I worry about my bills. I got a lot to worry about, just like you do. But man, when we find rest in him, what a blessing to know that he tells us that we don't have to be troubled. We don't have to live with anxiety and turmoil, but that we can live with rest in him, and that he's honest, and he's what he says is trustworthy. Finally, we find rest in Christ. Look at the last, so he says, last part of verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. We find rest this morning in the fact that we have an honest Savior and we have a preparing Savior. I was thinking about this and the anticipation that he has while he prepares a home for us. Now, I remember early days of being married. Shelby and I, we lived out in Fairview in a little single wide. And we were newlyweds. We were not used to having the free time and the freedom to kind of do what we wanted to do. And we'd come home and have ice cream for supper, and the house would look like a tornado came through. And you know what I mean? Like, man, it's nice to have a little bit of freedom. I don't have anybody breathing over my shoulder here. I don't have anybody pushing the thumb down on me here. And one day, a Saturday morning, we get up, and my grandparents call, and they said, "Hey, we're coming to see you. We'll be there in about 45 minutes. And I thought, my goodness. I told Shelby, and she said, "We got to clean." I said, "I know. I don't know what we're going to do." She said, "I don't know what we're going to do with this stuff." I said, "I'm going to find a closet. I'm going to put it in the closet." And we go through like a tornado. We had that place spick and span 45 minutes. Nan and Papa pull in, and they may know, they may have not known, but they walk in, and you couldn't tell it was a mess an hour before. You see, that's our anticipation for the return of Christ. That's how we live in our life. I mean, it's a tornado, and he already knows. He already knows that we're a wreck. He already knows that we're a mess. But we start thinking about the things of God, and we start getting things cleaned up. Guess what? His preparation, him preparing a place for us to live, is he wants to get things just right. I think he's preparing comfort. I think he's preparing hope. There's no anxiety in his preparation other than the fact that he's excited to come and get his children. He's excited for the day that his Father tells him to come and to reclaim the church and to get his children. He's excited for that day. He's with anticipation. So I think about when I was a kid and my friends would come over on a Saturday night and how me and my brother would sit and we would look out the front window as if at any second I could see the headlights of a car start down our driveway. There's a very stark contrast in that and what I just told you about my early days as a married couple. We would do all of our chores and we would get things in the right place and we would get our toys out, the toys we knew that we would share, and we would get everything set up exactly the way we wanted. And if mom said make your bed, we'd make our bed. If mom said we'd eat, we'd go we'd eat. If dad said to take out the trash, we'd take out the trash. We'd do all these things in anticipation that they were coming. And we would look out the window excitedly, and we knew by the clock that it would be an hour before they get here. But even though it's going to be an hour, we would look anticipating them to come down the driveway. You see, his anticipation for us, I believe, it's almost childlike, maybe, that he is waiting and anticipating, and he knows that he has to wait on his Father to say to come and get the church and come and get his children, but he's made a place perfect, and he's anticipating us to get there to be with him. And we should be able to find rest in the fact that he's excited in his anticipation as he's awaiting his children, you and me, to go and be with him. We should be able to find rest in that. When he says he's preparing a place, he's setting things out perfectly. He's making a table. He's preparing a room. He's excited to welcome us in the warmth and the shelter of his house, in his Father's house. And guess what? He says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." That tells me there's room for everybody. We're not going to be cramped when we get there. Why? He says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." And guess what? He'll have the ability and attention to give you as much attention as he can give me. Isn't that great? What a Savior we serve. I can't do that. I find myself sometimes having like two or three conversations going at once. Do you? I'm on the phone with somebody. But I'm also talking to Riley about why he has to put a pair of pants on to go to the store. Two conversations going on. Then I'm talking to Shelby. And then somebody's knocking at the door. Get two or three, four things. I don't have the ability and capability to give everybody the same amount of attention. Amen? But guess what? Jesus does. And he's anticipating when you individually can come be with him. The hope that we have in this home is that all the worries, I was thinking about this last night, the worries, the concerns, the anxieties, the stress, the frustrations of this world, they will be gone. Can you imagine? My mind spun this web of thoughts last night of all the words preached on this earth. We won't need preachers. How are we not going to need preachers? Why? Because there's not sin. We're not having to redeem anybody from anything. Guess what? We're among the redeemed. Sin is gone. Blows my mind. For a second, it will dim the light in a preacher's heart. I'm not going to get to preach in heaven. But then the fire that rages when you think about the fact, I don't get to preach in heaven. Why? Because we will have uninterrupted presence with God our Father, with His Son Jesus Christ, and with His precious Holy Spirit. We will be in uninterrupted communication with our Savior. What a wonderful home He's prepared for us. And He says here, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Not only do we have the hope of this home, not only does Jesus anticipating for us to be there, but it will be Jesus that will personally take us there. When He says, I will come again, I pray we can go by way of the rapture of the church. What a blessing that would be. That the trump could sound, the dead in Christ will rise. Those who are alive and remain will meet Him in the air. What a blessing it would be if we were to go home that way. He's coming to get His children. Amen? He's coming to get His children. He says, I will come again, and He'll personally take those children home. What a blessing it will be. Even if you go by way of the grave, to be absent in the body was to be present with the Lord. The fact that this flesh can be laid down and our spirit rendered unto God, we can stand before God, and while I'm an unworthy sinner, His Son Jesus Christ says, that's my child. And He'll welcome us home. And He'll be excited. And He'll be fulfilled. You know how much He loves us? You know how much He loves you? We cannot comprehend the love in its entirety of Christ. But if we can dwell on this rest that He will give us from the worries and concerns of this world, the rest that He will give us, if you can rest in His truth, the rest that we can have in the promise of hope in heaven. Hey, and I got some loved ones over there, don't you? I've got some loved ones. What a blessing that is to know the treasure that is in heaven, but most importantly, to be with our Savior. I ask you this morning, have you any rest in Christ? I have you this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you that we can find rest in Jesus Christ. What if you could say this morning, even by the sign of an uplifted hand, Pastor, I need to find rest in these things. Would you slip your hand up that I could pray for you and ask God to touch and give you rest in your life? Thank you. I see the hands. God bless you. I'll tell you where you can find it. Starts with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And He tells us His time on this earth was temporal and limited because He had a very specific job to do. And this day in which we celebrate His responsibility on this earth, that He gave up His life and He died, that purpose was fulfilled. And His next purpose is to come and get His children. I pray for you. If you raised a hand, maybe you didn't, that's fine. I pray that you can find rest in Christ, because if you can rest in Him and you can dwell in Him and you can fellowship with Him, you will have hope and happiness on this dark earth.